St. John the 23rd was born in northern Italy near the city of Bergamo in 1881. And already at the age of 11, he entered seminary, minor seminary, and was ordained in 1904 at the age of 23. His life as a priest was mainly a life of diplomacy on behalf of the church. He was a nuncio in different countries, but then became the Archbishop of Venice in 1953, and the Pope in 1958. He was Pope for only a brief period of time, because he became Pope at a very advanced age. He died in 1963 during the Second Vatican Council, which he had convened. St. John the 23rd was very devoted to Our Lady, and he loved the Rosary in particular. He wrote in one of his letters, "The Rosary, which in its entirety we never miss, even for a single day of the year, is the most fitting formula for praying and meditating." So he prayed the whole Rosary every single day. And he went on to also say in his personal journal, "My day must be one long prayer. Prayer is the breath of life. So I propose to recite all 15 decades of the Rosary every day, if possible, in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament." So he was faithful to his daily holy hour, to his rosary, and that's how he did both. He spent his holy hour adoring our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, meditating on his life by reciting all 15 decades of the rosary. Now, because St. John the 23rd loved the rosary so much, loved Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of the Rosary used him to work a miracle, which was the miracle that led to his beatification in the year 2000. So, just briefly, the miracle itself. In 1962, there was an 18-year-old novice in the Daughters of Charity. Her name is Sister Catherine, who began to have serious problems with her health. She began to have pain and hemorrhages, was vomiting blood, but kept it concealed from her superiors, hoping that the problem would go away. The problem would come, would go. For several months, she'd have peace, but then finally, the hemorrhaging became so bad, she became drained of all her energy and couldn't hide the problem anymore. Okay, so that's the beginning. That's the context of the situation. Her superiors, taking note of the problem, try to help her. Doctors are called in. She goes to hospitals, sees specialists, etc., etc. The most celebrated doctors in Naples are called in for consultation. She was from the south of Italy. X-rays, chests of the chest and stomach, all to no avail. No one succeeded in finding the reason for her hemorrhages. 2 years later, by 1964, all the doctors she had seen declared there was no explanation for her illness. All had given up on her except one, who was bold enough to try to operate. He had a bold Italian temperament and said, "I'll fix this problem." It was unlikely, however, that she was going to come out alive. She was hospitalized, underwent a difficult operation which lasted for 5 hours. It was found that the inside of her stomach was completely covered in these weird ulcers, and for that reason, almost her entire stomach had to be removed except for a little piece. Also, her pancreas and spleen were removed, and her esophagus was connected directly to her intestine as a last resort to save her life. Before the operation, Sister Catherine tells us, "I had prayed to Our Lady of the Rosary, to whom I was very devout. And the day after the operation, while I was thanking the Virgin for having come out through the operation at least alive, a sister from our congregation told me, 'Listen, it was actually Pope John the 23rd who saved you.' I had placed his image on the bed of the operating room and had continued to pray throughout the operation." So this is 64. He had died a year before and died in the odor of sanctity, to use that expression. He was known as the good Pope, very, very well loved and very virtuous. So the sister assures her, "Listen, it was John the 23rd. I was praying for you, and he is the one who interceded for you." She, this sister, gave me the Pope's picture, and even though I admired John the 23rd very much, I had never thought of praying to him. I answered, "Thank you for what you have done for me, but I'm convinced it was Our Lady of the Rosary who protected me, and I will continue to pray to her." I placed the image of Pope John on the nightstand as if it served no purpose for me. Okay, so it seems there's almost like a rivalry going on, but there is no such thing between Our Lady and the saints, of course. Our Lady of the Rosary was, of course, involved because she's the mediatrix of all grace, even in heaven. Even in heaven, the saints pray through her. But in this particular instance, she wanted to make it manifest and explicit that John the 23rd was involved in the miracle. Let's go on with the story. In the days following the surgery, Sister Catherine's health, instead of improving, continued to get worse. The sisters continued to pray to Pope John and Sister Catherine to Our Lady of the Rosary. 3 days later, when she was getting only worse, the sisters told her again, "You have to pray to Pope John." I was convinced and finally began to pray to the good Pope. She improved slightly, but it was short-lived again. The situation got so bad that a literal hole opened in her stomach. So, disgusting, to use that word, a disgusting situation had occurred. The acids in the little of the stomach that she had began to spill out and actually ate away through the tissues and poured out through this hole that had formed in her stomach. There was diffused peritonitis. Her fever was very high. The situation was desperate. She was given extreme unction and allowed to make final vows in danger of death. On the 22nd of May, a sister brought me a relic of Pope John. I placed it on the hole which had opened in my stomach, and I prayed to the Pope to take me to heaven, because I knew I was slowly dying. 3 days later, May 25th, around 2:30 in the afternoon, I fell asleep. At a certain moment, I felt a hand pressing the wound on my stomach, and a voice of a man saying to me, "Sister Catherine, Sister Catherine." I thought it was the doctor who came to check on me occasionally. I turned towards the voice and saw Pope John standing beside my bed. "You pray to me very much," he said with a calm voice. "Many people have prayed to me, but especially one. You have really taken this miracle from my heart. So don't be afraid now. You are healed. Ring the bell, call the sisters who are now in the chapel, have them measure your temperature, and you will see that you will not have even the slightest fever. From this moment forward, eat whatever you want, as you did before the sickness. I'll hold my hand on your wound, and you will be healed. Go to your doctor, have him examine you, have some x-rays done, and have it all written down, because these things will be needed one day." In fact, they were. This well-documented miracle served as the miracle for his beatification. Sister Catherine did as the Pope instructed her, rang the bell, the sisters came. To their amazement, she was well. "From that day," concludes Sister Catherine, "I haven't been ill at all. The doctors examined me, did tons of x-rays. There wasn't a trace of my illness. The day after my miracle, I went back to a normal life. And I ate whatever I wanted, even though she had no stomach. Her esophagus was connected directly to her intestine. She was not supposed to eat whatever she wanted. She did. My first lunch was fried potatoes, roasted goat, tomatoes, and ice cream. I went back to eating anything I wanted, and that was 34 years ago. I'm well, I have no problems of digestion, and I work with enthusiasm." That was the miracle of John the 23rd. Since he loved the Rosary, Our Lady of the Rosary wanted to use him to perform this miracle. There is no jealousy in heaven. That's the spiritual takeaway. Absolutely no jealousy between our Lord and our Lady, our Lady and the saints. It's a perfectly harmonious, happy family. Charity, harmony, and mutual love. And even in heaven, Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces for the saints. That's why, again, she was not Our Lady. Our Lady was not hesitant. Our Lady was not hesitant to use St. John the 23rd to perform this miracle. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.